Are you still getting ghosted? Maybe they're walking right past you as if they don't see you. Or perhaps, my personal favorite, they've come up with every excuse as to why you guys can't be together even though you practically are. Well, see, what had happened on season one was we thought we had done all the work, but perhaps there's a little bit more left to do. So here I am back for season two, your host, Justin Rain, ready to help you finesse through the stress in the land of fuckboys. So prepare to laugh, cry, possibly be triggered, but most importantly, I promise, this season we're going to heal as we begin to address our fuckboy problem.
Don't wanna be a player.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
I mean, a punisher, still got what you're looking for.
Don't wanna for be, thugs, don't wanna for be my thugs.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Don't you know, Big
on today's episode of Fuckboy Problems, titled Mr. Labels or Love, I sit down with my fellow actor, podcaster, and creator, Emery Lavelle J, and we talk about possessive partners, establishing personal stability, and fuckboys that put labels before love.
Good evening, good evening. This is the news.
Good evening, this is the news.
Good evening, this is the news.
Campaign between James and Phoebe really heating up now. Thanks.
Fucking library.
This is the fucking news.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No!
This is the fucking news.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Fuckboys in the News, the portion of the show where if you're fucking up and you have no excuse for your actions, know that I'm going to call you out on them. We have a doozy of a group this week, so I'm going to jump right into it. First up, we have none other than Sabrina Peterson. If you don't know who Sabrina is the Glam University CEO, and recently she went viral for accusing T.I. and Tiny of not only abuse, coercion, rape, sex trafficking, and so much more. Peterson actually came forward with the support of over 30 victims with alleged stories. And in no way, let me be very, very clear, in no way do I support silencing any victims, nor am I siding with the abusers. But what I am here to condemn Sabrina for today is lying and actually taking advantage of others' real pain for her own profit and gain. Now, what I'm going to tell you is actually really, really shocking and disappointing that we're having to deal with this. Sabrina has been proven, and maybe not all of the stories, but the point is that she lied about any of them. It has come out and been proven that she was reposting stories from victims and people who were DMing her saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing your story. I had a similar experience with T.I. and Tiny, or whatever the case may be. Victims who were coming forth, you know, actually using, you know, her, you know, proposed or, you know, like thought of, you know, like bravery and courage, you know, and using her voice and going out and using her platform. They thought she was actually trying to help. Well, now it's been proven that the bitch was lying, at least about some and maybe not all. And to me, that just murks up this whole case, because any actual person who has been a victim in this situation is now possibly not going to get justice, possibly not going to get help, or just not be believed because of your need to try to inflate the situation and try to make it bigger than what it was. Fuck boy, the truth. Just let the truth be the truth. Sabrina, you dumbass. Okay. Next up on the list, we have a dude who has been on here many a time or two, but this weekend he really got his fucking feel via my girl Wendy Williams. Next up on the list, we have none other than Kelvin Hunter, Wendy Williams' ex-husband. He got rare fulfilled via her recent biopic and documentary that aired on Lifetime. Like I said, if you don't know who he is, Kevin Hunter is Wendy Williams' ex-husband, and he's one of the biggest fuckboys of them all. Like I said, in her recent biopic and documentary, she revealed some of the most shocking details that further cement And I don't know, he is like a gold star fuckboy. Like, you know how they talk about gold star gays? He's a gold star fuckboy. You just keep doing shit. Like, from putting his ego before business dealings, ruining huge relationships and partnerships and deals Wendy had, to creating a toxic work environment. And I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And I'm so happy Wendy is free, but it's really sad to hear about her miscarriages and rape and all the other things that she's had to deal with that just furthermore encourage, hopefully, people to be a little bit more empathetic out there as we watch her try to navigate and heal, just as we are here on this podcast. Last up on the list, we have Robin Hood, not the dude in green from Sherwood Forest, not the black own nonprofit. It's not that. We're talking about Robin Hood, the investment app. It's important to clarify because I want to, one, protect the people in Sherwood Forest. Two, more importantly, I want to protect all my black brothers and sisters out there in the nonprofit community, because I've read a lot of articles and unfortunately that organization has been very swept up in this story. But without further ado, Robin Hood, the investment app. You are in the news this week after the bullshit that y'all know y'all pulled with GameStop and AMC, and basically just after users of the app, they began to pump up stocks via, I heard a Reddit thread I read somewhere, and just some other tactics through different channels and having conversations. I guess a large amount of users began to pump up various stocks in order to try to increase the price per share, which it was successful. And basically it's just this, it's an investment tool, and they used an investment tactic via Robinhood's app to pump up the stock price of GameStop and AMC shares. Well, what Robinhood decided to do was they were going to block certain users, and more importantly, retail users, from continuing to freely trade their shares. So what that means is I bought all of this whenever I wanted to, but I can't sell it whenever I wanted to. And that's not how buying and selling in this app actually works. You should be able to freely buy and trade whenever you want to. More importantly, here's the gotcha. Robinhood was allowing their hedge fund, you know, owners and people who had stocks in these same companies, they were still allowing them to freely trade while these stocks are hitting at an all-time high. Ha ha ha. And that is the fuckboy shit of them all. And then also, furthermore, I want to also, you know, take them a couple of notches for not properly informing and educating their users about their interface, because their CEO, he had little to no care about, one, the backlash of them blocking and not properly protecting nor supporting all of their users and not just protecting their corporate clients, but two, a young man, and it's so sad, and I just want to take a moment of silence at the end for him when I share what happened. He was trading in the excitement of this whole, you know, GameStop era. And so often in our 20s, we want to get ahead and we want to be rich. And we see all these people out on social media and they're like, oh yeah, you can do this. Start a business today. You know, trade stocks today. You know, we feel so much pressure to want to be a master of everything and understand everything and be this huge business person and CEO, and you know, and unfortunately a young man, that pressure got to him and he committed suicide after using this app and not understanding what he owed and what his stock's current costs and losses were. And he thought he lost and was in the tank $1 million, and he feels like, I'm gonna go to jail, I have no life, I'm never gonna have a future. And he was from a small town. It's really unfortunate that kind of pressure, one, drove him to try so hard on this app, and then to feel like after attempting and trying so hard, he had no other choice but suicide in his, you know, assumed failure on this app. So I want to take a moment for him, and I just want to encourage everyone out there as we close this portion of the show to don't let the pressure out there to have everything, to figure it all out, to be the richest, to be the smartest, to have, you know, the most business savvy in the world get to you. Because I don't know it all. I definitely have not learned it all. But you can learn a new thing a day and give yourself grace and give yourself forgiveness. And Google is your friend. And don't be ashamed to not know something. And even if you don't feel safe enough to tell someone else, just tell yourself, hey, I don't know about this, but I want to know about it. And take that 30 minutes or an hour in your evening, in your free time, whenever you have it, to try to help yourself grow in that area of weakness. And don't let that area of weakness define you. And take your power back and just use those moments like that as such. But without further ado, I'm so excited for you guys to have me sit down with Emery. It's going to be a crazy time. The conversation goes here, there, everywhere, but we always drop gems, and you know what the topic is about. Niggas love titles and labels without any of the responsibility. So it's going to be a crazy convo. So sit back, relax. You know how we do.
I don't know what to do but to keep part two of my confessions.
All right. We've been trying to get him on the show. It's a big deal. It's Mr. Hard to Swallow, but that is not the name of the episode. We have Mr. Emery Lavelle J, actor, writer. Yes, I said writer. We're going to go ahead and just manifest it and put it out there. Podcast host. The face that launched a million OnlyFans. I had to say it slow so y'all could hear it properly. How you doing?
I am doing amazing. We are in 2021 and I feel good.
Yeah. 2021 is starting to feel okay. You know, we just had this inauguration. No.
Yeah, I already feel like I might have to body slam somebody, but you know, it started a little rough, but I'm here.
Your talking stage lasted for about, you said, how long?
It lasted several months. I want to say, actually, when the first time we spoke, exchanged numbers and it developed, oh my God, I want to say it was 9 months before we had went on a few dates in between. We checked on each other here and there. We even met up and even had an unsuccessful hookup. And I actually thought that that was going to be the end of it. And then, you know, we talked about it. We got past it. And then the real goods happened. And it was like, okay, no, we need to be together because I got to protect those goods at all costs. But I do like you too. Because the foundation of the friendship was already there.
Okay, so that's really what.
And saved then when you add that layer,
the maturity is what allowed y'all to save it from the foundation.
Yeah, the foundation is important. The house will fall with a poor foundation.
And we've been in many a hood house that shook. Okay, you walk through a house where the flooring ain't all on the same level.
Bitch, full of roaches. You can blow it down like a bad wolf. It is what it is. Bitches don't know how to build.
Bitches is mad.
Whatever. But I'm an architect.
Yeah. No, I'm an architect. I hate you. No, you're an architect.
So after the officiate, the relationship, all that good stuff, it took another 5 months. 5 months before we actually moved in together. And honestly, it was about coincidence because, you know, I live in an expensive city. Lives in an expensive city.
So this was convenience. This was about convenience.
This was about convenience for both on both ends.
Okay, so I respect that. I respect that at that point in the dating experience. Because y'all have been dating for about a year and a half now, or a year and a few months.
I guess you can say that. The way that we took our time, but I mean, from the outside looking in, because it wasn't publicized until much later down the line. And so they was like, oh, y'all did this like that. Like, no, this is months in the making.
So yeah, move in for convenience, and you guys had a foundation that was strong enough to allow you to feel comfortable. So when do things go left? When do you start to realize that the label is more important or is kind of holding more weight than the actual like content of the relationship?
So let's put things in perspective first and start with, I wasn't shit. Let's start there. I was incomplete. Okay, so
what does that look like?
What that looks like is a young man that's an adult and doesn't have his core responsibilities together, not a stable with his income, not a clear idea of what he wanted to do And even if you don't know what you want to do, what are you doing now to get to where you need to go? And relying on others to push me. But that comes from a place of, I've been a grown man since a child. So entering adulthood, I almost felt like I'm not even half the man I used to be as a child, because now it's slack time finally. And I realized I didn't know what I was doing. You get to adulthood and realize, oh, you're not as grown as you thought you were, young man. But anyway, I was upfront about the fact that I was had some things I was working on. I was incomplete. And that person was, you know, nice enough, kind enough to say, and probably signed themselves up for more than he thought that he can handle. It don't matter. I want you. I got you. Da da da. And I'm like, okay, you sure?
I'm crazy.
Listen,
I tell I ain't right. I said this exact way. I ain't built right.
You gotta tell them. Tell the truth. Nobody's feelings gonna get hurt when you tell the truth. Because it's yes or no. We can do this, we cannot do this. Guess what? It is what? Billions of people in the world. Baby, you will find somebody else. And if you really feel like you're something amazing, you gotta believe that you're gonna find better. But I realized on the flip side with this, with Jabba Jaws, that he convinced himself that because of his empirical, his experience, that he knew how to date. Because I have all these experiences, I know what I'm doing, you're less experienced than I. And then he shared with me, well, the majority of my relationships, I cheated on my exes. I was like, okay, that's the problem. Red flag, red flag. And then...
Now, how long is it into the relationship when you find this out? Or is this when y'all were getting to know each other?
We were like past a year and a half mark.
Oh, and you're just now getting this. You're just now dropping this bomb.
So I felt like this is, I'm like, bitch, this is kind of important to know, don't you think?
Have I been trapped?
Who shares if they cheated, you know?
Are we in a panic room? Cause I'll be like, is it cameras on? Cause I'm like, you don't do this a year and a half.
That's actually part of.
Are you just now showing up? Are you just now showing up?
That's part of the manipulation. They share. They try to win you over by telling you things that typically you would not expect, because they want points for being so honest.
Oh, you want points for candor?
Yes, like, oh, I have integrity.
Points for honesty. That's what you should do. I used to the same motherfucker that I dealt with for 5 years used to tell me all the motherfucking time when I used to show up and be like, but I did this. Oh, so you want me to give you a pat on the back for shit that you should be doing?
That you should be motherfucking doing. I'm not here to
pat you. But my therapist also told me after the fact that maybe you didn't have the tools to know how to do it. So maybe, you know, that is an accomplishment for you. And there is an argument for that. But it's very manipulative if you have to let me know that you did it so that you can get cool points. That's where it's the issue. If you want to acknowledge growth, we can acknowledge growth.
But we can acknowledge growth. Yeah. But we also have to pay attention to patterns. And we can't choose not to see consistent behavior. Mm-hmm. And when we choose not to see consistent behavior, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
We're also being delusional.
Because it always come back to smack you in the fucking face.
And I am not about to be sitting like that little dog in that meme in that room with that fire talking about it's all okay. Okay? Because a lot of times when you act like you don't see shit going on, bitch, you're that dog in that little room on fire. And you're just lying. You're the dog. Don't be the dog. So he tells you he's been cheated. Now what do you do? What do you do with this information now?
I look past that because I was idealistic. And I say, well, who are you today? And the person that I got to know over that time did not reflect that behavior, because he was so territorial of me. He was my number one defender. Somebody said something about me, he was quick to attack. I felt a sense of loyalty from this man. So his past to me seemed like something from back then. And I also felt that I wasn't who I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So could I hold him accountable? Well, I have to decide if I would hold him accountable for his past. And I think in a moment I decided not to. which is a mistake on my behalf. And I have to own that, the role that I played in those issues that resurfaced later on. He also, Jabba Jaws, he's not who he thought he was. And listen, we all grow. We think we know something, but we don't really have, like your therapist said, this is part of my motto, actually. Like, some people don't have the tools that they think that they have, and they only do the best that they can. Based on the relationships that he had with his friends, the very inappropriate relationships he had with his friends, and that's something I actually noticed early in. I ignored that because I chose to take his word over what I saw. But I also knew some of those people. And so because we had a relationship, I chose to give both of them the benefit of the doubt, to respect that, you know, their word of mouth, their oath, their plea.
Their integrity, bitches ain't got none.
Bitches ain't got none.
Integrity. If you can find a motherfucker with some integrity, these bitches will lie down with anybody.
Yeah.
They will, but fuck your man.
They will. Yeah. A lot happened over that relationship between cheating on both ends and other things. But I think at the core, because of the topic, I want to focus on the idea of wanting to be in a relationship, but or loving somebody, but not really, you know, all that good stuff. You know what I mean?
Because it sounds like he loved you. It sounds like he loved you.
The love is present.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the love was present. It sounds more so like, yeah, the work had not been done maybe individually to allow you to really be in the best place to,
yes,
you know, operate in that relationship the way you needed to. Because the work hadn't been done over here. So you got all this shit that you dragged with you.
But I think, especially further down the line in that relationship, I started to keep taking notice to the imbalance of his expectations of me versus the expectations he's had for himself. The things he wanted me to do, the rules and boundaries he expected me to uphold versus...
Just as his partner or just as how you lived or in every way?
As a partner, there's certain things that you don't do and say to other people.
Like what?
Let's just say somebody asks for your number and you out in another city without your man, right? Mm-hmm. What if somebody asks for your man's number while they were out? Would they give the number to that person? Would they exchange social medias? Sometimes you know what the fuck is given. Stop. When you act like you don't,
I don't like that. When you play dumb, it's more of a slap in the face to me than you just doing it. I would rather you do it and just be trifling and be like, yo, this is an impulse. I thought they were cute. I was tempted in the moment. I did it. And I caught myself later.
Tell the truth.
But see, when you play dumb, now you're playing smack with you. My intelligence. And you see my hand keep moving.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
It's something about playing games. And this person that knows so much about dating and relationships.
You should know.
You know, motherfucker. You know, scallywag. Bitch, stop playing with me. So, and I know you know, because if I was to do something like that,
you would have like it. You would have. Yes.
So yes.
You know the response that you would desire.
So there was a few occasions where he would do things that he complained about me doing in the past. And I would be like, I thought we wasn't doing that. Because, you know, along the way. No. So, you know, the rules did change. Over time, you establish a new rule. Like, okay, I'm not okay with that. Okay, we're not going to do that. You start to learn what works and doesn't work. Mm-hmm. My issue is, after we establish what doesn't work, and bitch, you do it, do you want to fight? Because bitch,
you're not do you want to fight. You just going to come straight with violence.
Listen, because you can't, listen, I'm a Libra.
Straight to
I'm
the Libra.
I'm a Libra. Oh, it's all about equality for me.
I dated a Libra. I live with a Libra. I had a Libra. I got a cut on my chest now from a Libra. Okay, with a butcher knife. Okay.
Now, anyway, we had conversations about these acts of inappropriateness. And I just got tired of him not seeing how he was doing the same things he didn't want me to do. Being friends with people that he was fucking, staying at their houses, or sleeping in the same bed. You know you're not supposed to sleep in the same bed if a bitch used to fuck. Like, stop playing with
me. Because that just meant y'all fucked again. Act. Yeah, or she gonna try at least.
Yes, you know, like, certain acts of certain like...
you just don't do.
It's certain things you don't do. Here's my thing, Mr. Rain. So, people are close off to the idea of polyamory and open relationships. Mm-hmm. But I always ask them, I say, why are you? I'm like, well, I don't want you just out here fucking any and everybody. And I say, well, it doesn't have to be that way. That's what rules are for. And when I come to the conclusion, especially after Jabba Jaws and others, y'all want to fuck other people, but you don't want your partner fucking other people. It's not that y'all don't see it for... It's not that y'all don't see it for polyamory and open relationships.
Yeah, we just don't want to do our shit. We're perfectly fine. But do I want to sit? But it's about the possession. But yeah, no, I just think with men of color that we have not gotten to that place in the progression and mentally where we look at people's bodies as their own. And even more so, if you look at it on an even more macro level, men do not look at their partners and gay men, like, honestly, like, and normally it is usually the tops or the more dominant figure that wants to have his cake and eat it too. A lot of times in these situations, the person is like, nah, you can't go fuck everybody, but I want to fuck everybody. In heterosexual or more heteronormative relationships, that more dominant figure or the man is also trying to own his partner's body or the more submissive person's body. So I just think culturally, like with men and more testosterone, different ways, and definitely in Black culture, that possession just hasn't been worn off. And even we're not even being shown that in relationships as we're growing up. I feel like a lot of things as a man of color and as a Black man myself, I feel like I've had to reteach myself and rewire once I became an adult.
Yes.
And I just feel like as a community, as a group, we're just not there yet. And I don't know if we'll ever be there because I think the connotations and the negativity in the way that I feel like Black people are so intertwined, because white people have community, but Black community is a little bit different. Black community is like everybody's business is your business. And even if it's not our business, we can comment on it. White people, they have like, they're very going to be PC about it. Never to the end. Black people don't give a fuck. So I feel like it's going to be another 50 years before we get to that place. The kids are getting there, but I don't feel like we're in that place yet where we still don't look at the other person's body as our possession. And I feel like that's really the hang up.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't really have, and I do like your theory. From what my observation of certain things, I do want to talk about particularly for myself, I'm going to say Black men.
Call it out.
Okay, this is a generalization. Well, especially Black men, when it comes to hypermasculinity and their egos, and even pathology passed on from years of trauma, there is a certain thing that comes with owning something, being in possession of something, being in control, stemming from slavery, probably. And so these men, when they, especially the dominant ones, they want to own their partner. This mine. This is mine.
What does this say about you? All of this is a reflection of me. All of this raises my stock. Because it does drop your stock in your mind. If your bitch is fucking everybody else
in your mind, but who the fuck are you? And you know what? These people be passing out dick.
Like your like, stock not dropping. You know, your stock don't drop on you when you fuck it. When you, hey, want some? Want some?
Yeah. Just like, oh, you need a coupon? Oh.
We're in a special today.
Yeah, so it's something about that operation that is definitely related to hypermasculinity. I can't say if it's just about race, but definitely I do see, in particularly of my experience of Black men, they have an issue of hypermasculinity and want to control, and that's in gay and straight relationships. Mm-hmm. They want to own their partners. Even after y'all break up, they're talking about that ex is mine, that's mine. Bitch, he ain't yours no more. What does that do for me? Does it elevate me? Does it get me the job?
Did you get the job
I wanted? The role I wanted? Did you get Yes, very much Gabrielle Union.
Yes,
Gabriel, what does it do for me?
I love Gabriel. It does shit. And honestly, probably is going to bring you back. It's probably going to bring you at least a step back.
It doesn't do anything for me.
An ex is always looking for a loophole.
Yeah.
An ex is worse than an ex is worse than a lawyer on an O.J. Simpson case, okay?
It is. It
is. Them motherfuckers will search high and low. They will find the fucking end, okay? If you allow it. Don't you use no silly putty. Use concrete, bitch. Seal that hole. Seal it shut.
Period. So we got past the possessiveness, and that does play over to why they don't want to be in these labeled. People would rather be, that people would rather commit infidelity than to be in an open relationship or polyamory. Or polyamorous.
Yeah, because that's a label they don't even want to own. Because of the association with that label. Infidelity
over... Yeah, I don't fuck with that. That don't work for me. And I have openly in some past relationships been like, well, we both want to fuck other people. So you want to get some ass together? Like, what do you want to do? Those are difficult conversations to have with a partner.
Those are very difficult conversations.
You should be upfront about what you want and what you want to do. And that's something else we got to reprogram and unlearn. Another thing to add into the list, we have to unlearn. That monogamy is the only way.
Monogamy
that
is the
these
only
uncomfortable
way.
Conversations should not be brought to the surface. That only makes it worse. What if, for example, you're in a verse relationship and the dick ain't doing it for you, but the ass is amazing? How do you bring it up to your partner that, well, babe, can we bring in another person? And how will we go about doing that? Now that's a tough conversation to have. That's a tough conversation.
Because that's a different one. Because it's different. You giving out some dick that
you don't say it like dick. That.
You don't.
Say it like that.
You definitely don't say it like that. Because that conversation is over. You're single.
I mean,
and you're back on. You're back on Jack. You're back on Jack by 10 p.m. Okay.
Get the fuck out of my life, bitch.
You got me fucked up. I'm glad I just disabled this profile and didn't delete it. I'm glad
there's
I just
There's a way to have
that.
Empathy, protect your partner's feelings while also being honest.
Yeah.
Tact
People don't
is
tell
important.
You that. Tact is very fucking important. How you deliver
see, that's
things,
another thing.
Tone yes. makes a huge difference. Delivery, presentation.
Well, that's another thing that's uncommon with Black people. We have a history of not talking about tough conversations. Sometimes we lead with aggression over talking about the issue at hand. You know, no, your sister is actually your mama. But we don't talk about that. You know, it's always these things that we put in the closet, but we have to talk about it.
And then we
want to
bring it, and then somebody want to get drunk and tell it 80 years later.
You know, at the Thanksgiving dinner with Madea. You know, it's just like,
Faith,
oh God,
Faith,
child.
Why'd you have to do that, Cousin Faith? Why'd you have to do that? Like, could you not help yourself? Could you not help your Cousin Faith? It's always Cousin Faith.
But most people don't have the tools to really attack and address the things that they need to move forward. And I was lucky enough when I was younger to have the conversations that I needed to have with my father and mom. Early while I was in college, I didn't know what I was doing in the moment, but what inspired me to have those tough conversations about feeling abandoned and dealing with the homophobia and the poor parenting and how that affected me, what inspired me to address it was seeing cousins and aunties and uncles in their late 50s still complaining about their mama, you used to beat my ass, you did this, da, 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 da. And I'm
oh
like, I'm not gonna be that person.
It's
I'm
a
not
mess.
Gonna be you.
Yeah. I can't do this no more.
No, I have to address it and nip it in the bud. So I do think because of that, now I have the foundation I need. I have the core. I know my family loves me. And because I have this loving environment and I know I surround myself with friends that love me, I don't feel a dying need to have to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I can say that about me. I've been single for 3 years. But because of my last relationship with Jabba Jaws too, I start to believe that love is possible. I did go to a state of being like, child, I don't really think I'm a commitment type of person. But now I know I am. it changed my whole outlook on things. And because I know I take relationships serious now, I don't just rush into anything. I know if it's going to work or if it's not. Now, of course, that don't mean I'm not going to run into any issues down the line. That doesn't mean
life.
That.
That's just life.
It ain't That's perfect. Just life. But I have a better head on my shoulders. And I can confidently say, I don't just need the label. Some of these motherfuckers, keep in mind, relationships are a status symbol. Let's take it there, too.
Yeah.
I'm in a relationship.
Also, but do you think relationships define you? Or they can't, are they, I mean, do you think they add a definition? Me.
It don't define
think,
me.
I think if anything, a relationship,
I am my own person.
To your plate. Yeah, I actually don't like being
I'm Michelle Obama.
Outside of that, yeah,
Michelle Obama be like, Barack think that, not
yeah, me. Yeah, I'm very much. That's that nigga, and this is me. And yeah. I might love that motherfucker, but we don't always agree about certain shit. How they operate?
We don't always agree.
We don't do business the same way.
I don't know why people think that two people are going to coexist without having disagreements. It's impossible. If you want a relationship without disagreement, bitch, masturbate at home. Here's something I've noticed. People be in these relationships for years, right? Mm-hmm. They always bragging, oh, we've been together for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. But are you happy? And do you like them? All you have are those years. Some people don't realize it. All you have is that label and those years. Some of you motherfuckers are literally miserable because you have to protect that label like it's motherfucking Louis Vuitton or Gucci, a diamond ring from Tiffany's.
I know. Okay. So as we wrap this part of the show up, I want to ask you this final question. Let's bring labels out even bigger, even more macro.
With the labels.
Like how people are dealing with labels and how they apply to their life. I feel like labels are just now are becoming just like the issue period, like on like a bigger level.
Okay. Here's my outlook on that. Labels are there for those who feel excluded outside of the binary. You know, we live in this world, this dichotomy where you're either this or you're that. And guess what? If you feel that label applies to you, it doesn't take away from your options. You can simply say, oh, I'm just this. It's not that complicated for me. But there are people that are excluded or they're somewhere in between these labels and they feel that it better defines them or better defines what they want. And they can choose to use that label without it affecting what you want. If you don't want that, then don't have it with that person. And so I just think that we do have to expand. All of us are different. We know how many people are in the world. We know how things constantly evolve and grow. So how can we use the same type of thinking that worked centuries ago, even 50, 60 years ago, with today? What I see a lot of times, because the younger generation, like Generation Z, they are more open to these expanded labels because they're coming up in a time where after the work of the millennials, they aren't as brainwashed and programmed and indoctrinated with this two-label system of male, female, man, woman, straight, gay. And so I think that over time, right now, we might not see why there's a full need for those labels, but the generation after us and the generation that comes after that.
Oh, them kids are going to be free as hell. They're going to be free.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be free.
Yeah, they're going to be free. And I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see it. It's probably it's hard for us to understand.
We're
going to be the old gays. And, you know, we're going to be sitting there like, we just called it this. We just called it that. But guess what? Sociologists are constantly expanding, evolving what we know about the world. And so I am open to the idea of education and new labels. At one point, being gay, being trans was looked at as a mental illness. Keep in mind, I think that was actually in the DSM-4, and now I think in the DSM-5, or six. It's been a while since I've been in school. Anyway, the book The Psychology Uses, they now don't define trans people as someone with a mental illness. And so that's just one of many examples of why we do have to keep doing the work to expand.
And knocking down those doors. Yeah. I agree with that. Now tell everybody about your podcast.
So let me tell you about my podcast. My podcast is everything that you hear today out of my mouth, and a lot of things going in my mouth. I love to make a lot of very sexual, racy noises and have those type of conversations. Everything Black LGBTQ plus and about Black women, I center those topics. We talk about hot topics and dating and relationships and whatever the hell I want to talk about, honestly. But anything Hard to Swallow would be on Hard to Swallow Podcast. Now, you can find this podcast at HTS_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. But you also can follow it and find it on all major podcast platforms at Hard to Swallow Podcast.
Come on. All right, you got anything else
you want to plug? Now, if you like me, if you like me enough,
tell people how they can find you.
If you want to follow Little OB, you can find me on Instagram at @ink_i_Emery. Ain't I Emery, my tribute to Sojourner Truth. And also on Twitter at @AintIEmeryJ. And yeah, I have all my links with my link tree with links to my projects, the podcast, my clothing line, and the Fans of Only if you're interested.
Quality content. I'm trying to tell you, them cheeks beat the meat and the cheeks are hitting. I'm trying to tell y'all, hit the button right now. All right. Give me the coin. Well, when we get right back, we'll have our fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show. So we'll be right back.
I couldn't help but wonder.
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 Are men just women with balls?
This is a good time to vent. Officially. Now, in the great tradition of Paris is Burning, the library is about to be open. Hey! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
That's right, children.
All right, so now we are at the fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show. Ooh. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to clown around? All right, so today's subject line is kind of cute. I liked it. It was like, was it something I did, or is he the issue? All right, so Carl writes in, Lance writes in. He was like, Carl and I met a couple years ago and have seen each other out and about via mutual friends throughout the years. From the first time we met, there was definitely a mutual sexual attraction that was palpable. We exchanged numbers since he was leaving town in the AM, and our crush quickly fizzled after that. Recently, we reconnected on social media and started flirting again. He said he wasn't dating and down to get to know each other. From then on out, we were talking and texting pretty frequently. Whenever I asked about his intentions or what he was looking for, he said he'd love a relationship with the right person, but right now he's just going with the flow. I agreed, but let him know that I wasn't in the business of wasting my time. After a few months, we made plans to go on a date while he was in town for work. As the date grew closer, we both seemed excited and planned the itinerary together. So, it's the day of the date. I pick him up and he looks great. We proceed to ride and chat and we seem to be vibing. Everything seems great. He always played things very close to the chest and coy, but I never doubted his interest till the end of the date. Towards the end, when we're having our late lunch, early dinner, I asked him if he had plans for the rest of the evening and he said no. After a bit of awkward silence, when the subject of plans for the rest of the evening arose again, I decided to drop him back off at his hotel. Only for him to be called by a fellow flight attendant and be asked to drop him off across the street to her hotel instead. We've continued to communicate, but things definitely seem pulled back now. The only thing I felt we kind of disagreed upon during the date was the topic of gender assignment and children. Did I miss something or come on too strong to you? I'm just trying to decide if I should keep responding at this point. And then he wrote in all caps, help.
Oh.
I'm going to let you weigh in first, and you're my guest. So this is Carl and Lance. Lance is writing in. Lance wrote in, and Carl is the guest. Carl is the flight attendant, I guess, that was visiting.
First of all, the back and forth is, you said you didn't want to waste your time, but didn't you?
Woo! That's rude, Nessie. That's rude. Did he waste his? I don't know if he wasted his time. I think he's trying to figure out if he's about to waste his time. But it feels like you kind of did. So. Like it's kind of. I feel like that's he's asking. Should he respond? Should he keep responding? That was literally the last sentence. Well, so I feel like we're at the precipice. He waited. We're at the precipice of your time continuing to be wasted.
Pretty much. Now. Something on this date, whatever you may be trying to minimize with the conversation, something happened in that conversation. We only talked about gender assignment and what else it was.
And let me go back to the email. Only talked about gender assignment and the role it plays in children.
Who the fuck talks about this on the first
I guess
date.
It's first time, I guess it's first time about like gender roles. I don't know, bitch. I don't know. I don't even know how this could have come up. Like, how does this come up? Like, in conversation? Like,
how did that come up?
Well, wait. I can see this. Okay. So you could be on a date and you could be like out or whatever because they said they went to like dinner or whatever. I could be at a dinner and you could be at a restaurant and somebody's little badass kids be running around. Like, if you was at Olive Garden, okay? And you know, it's always badass kids in Olive Garden. What if it was a little boy running around in a dress? I feel like that's, I'm trying to like figure, like in my mind, I'm trying to like fill in the blanks.
How did this even come up?
Yeah, to me, like a conversation, let me speak for me. I would only probably enter into a conversation like that if it happened organically and it was sparked by something in the environment. So to me, you need to write in and let us know, but let's do it in that case.
If that's how it came up, whatever way that it came up, both of y'all got to save some time. He might have fucked up for bringing it up, but guess what I see it as? You did save yourself some time because obviously he feels strongly about his stance about it and it's a deal breaker for him. Okay? Period. Yeah. Oh, well. And I don't think he should walk away feeling like he fucked up. Y'all both saved each other time because that might have came up later and then y'all would have just broke up. Like, or some, I don't want to say stupid shit, but something that's important to me that I didn't think would be a big deal romantically. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What if he wants to have children one day and that was something important to him? But if I had to blame somebody, since that's the game... Whoever brought it up to begin with.
And if we're gonna blame somebody, Lance,
first dates are supposed to be fun and simple.
Yeah, okay, so what I would say to you, I'm gonna give you a little advice. Lance, what you did was fucked up, or however, I think whoever brought this topic up, they were fucked up for bringing that up on a first date. So you gotta get a chop for that. I feel like tact goes a long way. You brought up tact. And you got to learn how to read a room. That's my phrase I've been using recently. Read a room, bitch. Read the room. Because, you know, it don't take... Common sense is hard to come by. I'm learning. But, you know, you can feel a lot of times if somebody...
You can feel when somebody's like... You can feel.
We don't need to go there. But then, also, I want to bring up the homegirl calling on the phone. Well, like the awkward silence when you asked about additional plans. I just want to call this out for you, Lance, so you could think about this on your own. Because you asked us if you should keep responding. There are a couple things that I'll just say from my experience. I've never had that. If I ask you what your plans are, you're an adult. You can just be, this is a first date. when you like when it first came up, the first time the answer was no. I don't know how they came up again, but in my experience as a person dating, as a, I'm pansexual, mm-hmm. so I've dated everything, and anytime a motherfucker asks you what your plans are another time, that's because they want to continue the date. So that's just like that, you know, what's that show on MTV? What is it, Next Date or whatever? That old show where they used to ask, do you want to keep going? Do you want to take $50? Do you want to pass, go, or collect $100? Whatever. Do you want to go on another date? I don't know. I don't know this fucking show's called. But nevertheless, yeah, I feel like the second time it came up, I feel like they kind of let you know where they saw you when you had the awkward silence. And I feel like
he had the answers to his question. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe this person, maybe I vibed his friends and he's just trying to be nice, because you also wrote that he pulled, that you feel like he's pulled back. And yeah. Also, when people
were really like, he hooked up with somebody out there.
That's shady. He said his homegirl. But I don't know. I definitely wouldn't drop you back off of somebody else's place. You're dumb.
I'm like, how old are you? You got an Uber? You got me fucked up.
I'm dropping you back off where I picked you up.
You ain't getting dropped off, bitch. I ain't like the way this date ended. You about to get an Uber.
What?
On your own dime.
You would do that?
I'm like, you all right? You good?
You good? Nah, you got it. You good, bro? I don't like that.
You ready to go?
You good? All right. See you later. That's actually how you have to do it. If you just go leave somebody, you never doing all right. You good? And then you just gotta like cut. You just gotta hit it. You just gotta go. And
personally, sometimes you just gotta call out the elephant in the room. Like, did we go left somewhere? Are we good? You say that there.
You're an adult. Don't text later. You can ask that. Because when you ask, you just seem like a weak little bitch, because you should have did it in the moment.
Yeah, and we face to face. It's better to get this out.
And you actually can turn the date around if you do that. You actually can really turn a date around. I have seen a date turn around and a motherfucker really messed up.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked, and I was mm-hmm. like, you did some, you, because they like came real aggressive, and you was like all on me, and mm-hmm. I wasn't ready. I don't even too much know if I like you. And see, I feel like Carl might feel that way about you, Lance, and you gave Carl too much too fast, you know? And I feel like, but the moment has passed. I think he showed you who he is now, and I think he showed you how he sees you.
He did.
Cause sometimes
y'all see each other.
People be trying to force stuff. Don't try to force it. If it's not naturally moving, if it fell off, let it rock, let it ride. Like you said, there's a billion other fish in the sea.
Yeah, you'll be fine. If that didn't work out, just move forward. It's not that serious.
Yeah, but whoever brought that shit up is fucked up.
That could have been an opportunity.
Do you think Carl is a fuckboy though, for how he handled? Because he was real. It sounds like he didn't really give any answers, but he also wasn't giving any clarity.
That is fuckboy behavior.
Because you're leading me on, and you're also not. Because you said yes to a date, you also planned an itinerary with me for a date.
And did you want a date or did you want to eat? Cause bitches be broke and hungry, and I need to know. I'm having issues about his.
How are you broke? You flew in town on work.
He did fly in town.
How is this man broke? Well, that don't mean that just because you got a job. I know many people with a job that's broke.
He had enough to get back to his flight in his hotel, bitch.
He didn't, cause he rode with you.
We found it. Boom. He had no money.
Broke. Well,
he was hungry. He have a ride.
That's what crazy bitches do when they don't want to take accountability. You just find a way to just blame them, and then you just take that and you hold that close to your chest, Lance. I want you to hold this truth that you're deciding for yourself. He was broke, and he just ain't on your level. So you hold that lie close to your chest for the next 2 weeks until you forget about him. And you're going to be good, bitch. It's going to be like it never happened. Case closed.
Listen, this ain't no deep relationship, so you get the chance to do that. Fuck it.
Girl, go get you some salt and vinegar chips.
She was hungry.
Hey, how about we listen to a little bit of music?
Bro. How did you know? I love this song.
Gave me a shout out on the album, right?
Word?
Yes. Everywhere I go, I see the same.
All right. We're at the song of the week. You got your song, Emery?
Ooh, okay. For me, I definitely have to do Damaged by Her. Because Damaged by Her is just something about just be careful. It's something about just being careful. Careful what you take for granted. Because with me, you know you can do damage.
Oh, baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry. In my time, the whole time, so just be careful what you take for granted, yeah. Cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage.
Come on, make me believe what you're saying.
Can we waken this up a little?
Well, yeah, if you think you can.
Okay. Deanna.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention.
Wait a minute. You know what your fuckboy fix, you know what your phrase is for the day? This is my favorite part of the show. It's a self-care tip. It's something that can bring about healing. I feel like you dropped a lot of gems. What advice, what self-care, what fuckboy fix are you going to give people today that they can walk away with?
I've been changing it back and forth throughout this whole segment. And people show you who they are, believe them. That always comes back.
Maya Angelou. Come on.
Yes. Because that's the lesson. That's one of the lessons I took away from this. Not looking at the red flags. And stop believing in potential over what's in front of you. Who are they today? Not who you want them to be. Who you think they're going to become. Results. Be results-based. Performance-based. And lastly, just introspection and self-reflection on your own internal growth is more important than focusing on the other person's problems. That's it.
I 1,000% agree. The internal will be what really lasts. The work you do internally will be the work that lasts. All that shit outside of you, all that shit external, you can get new clothes, you can get a new man, you can get new dick, you can fix all those things outside of yourself. I'm just saying, you can fix all those things outside of yourself. Those things inside of yourself, that's the shit that's going to last.
Yeah. And guess what? You're not going to fix it right away. People think that they are supposed to break bad behavior immediately. Psychologists will tell you that it takes time to break a habit, ways that you're used to doing things, just like with smoking or anything else, you know? And so you have to train yourself, modify your behavior before you actually get to a place where you say, I finally know how to do this shit. Now I know right away.
Growth is not linear.
It's not linear. And guess what? Sometimes you have to remind yourself.
That's what my therapist told me. I wrote it down. Growth is linear. Because we have unrealistic expectations for how, and and don't be applying your growth to social media as people's growth, because them bitches only gonna show you their wins. They never gonna show you their losses, okay? And there's hella losses. So stop going right here and crying because you see this bitch winning and her little small business then blew up. Okay, y'all know how long she had to cry with that small business. You don't know their journey. Years. Yeah. Just worry about your you don't journey, know journey. You putting in for your own happiness right. and success. You'll look back and be so proud if you did it for yourself. Yeah. And you focused on yourself. I'll tell you that.
Do well, think you. About this. Do you remember all the fucking math formulas you learned in high school? No. Sometimes you have to relearn some shit that you learned before. Okay? That's what I mean by growth ain't linear. Sometimes you gotta come back to the lesson plan and say, oh yeah, I forgot. I gotta stop doing that shit. Okay, now let's move forward again.
You was trying to do a shortcut. You ain't that good at it. You need you to just do a follow shortcut. The steps that you know. Sometimes, bitch, you be trying to do a little shortcuts. No, you just need to do it on the TI-89, the way the teacher taught you.
Yes.
And just get
now. Try to get to a place where you're taking two steps forward and maybe a half step back. Try to get to that place.
You don't want to look back and still be in the same place forever. No, you want to feel progress, like you're saying. You should be able to be measuring progress.
When you have more power than you think that you do over your life, when it's trajectory. So
it all starts in the head, I'll tell you that. It starts in the mind.
Yes, it does.
And all you got to do is just tell yourself. Sometimes I tell myself on days I'm going to do stuff, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And tell yourself the reason why and make it about you and make it about your goals and a reason yes. and something that you actually want for yourself. When you tell yourself that you're doing this for yourself, it makes it a lot easier to create that motivation or find that motivation. Because a lot of times people also don't tell you that motivation. Mm-hmm. That bitch just don't come out of thin air.
Exactly. You got to create some form of intrinsic value, some motivation, something that makes you keep going, to not want to go back there again. One time I was in a domestic violence situation with a partner. What I kept on my phone was a picture of me after that fight. Don't call him. Don't call him. Until I got to a place where I didn't need that photo anymore.
Clear.
Create value. Sometimes make it even physical.
Well, thank you again for being on the show. Because that last little piece just hit me. I'm going to have to walk away with that with a talk and talk to myself as I go have a drink. I'm going to have to roll over for that piece. But because I know that one too. I told you about that knife. Mm-hmm. Still healing. But thank you so much for being on the show. You guys are going to love this episode. I guess you guys are loving this episode by the time you hear it. I'm a dummy. Anyways, tell everybody out there how they can find you in Hard to Swallow one more time.
You can find me at HTS_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also find me on all major podcast platforms at Hard to Swallow Podcast. You can find me at Ain't I Emering on Instagram and Ain't I Emering Jay on Twitter.
All right. Thank you so much. Y'all, he did this when he got off work. He's so sweet. He did this. And no, I really
I've been waiting
it.
To do this. I love you so much.
Yes. I'm gonna come on and tell y'all all my nasty business. I'm gonna tell y'all about this man with a traffic cone. I'm gonna come over y'all out. I got y'all. Y'all let me know. I'm gonna come return the favor. Thank you so to. Much. Yes.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me.
You have a great night. Bye, fuck boys.
We out.
That's all, folks. Thank you again for listening to today's podcast. Please make sure to subscribe, rate it, and share with a friend wherever you are listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FBProbs, FBProbs. And please make sure to add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. And if you got fuckboy problems, please email us at FBProbs@JustinRain.com. That's FBProbs at Justin, JUSTIN, Rain, RAYNE.com. See you next episode, fuckboys.